Parshat Truma, our parsha this week, tells of the instructions from God to the Jewish people to make the Mishkan, the place for God's presence, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. V'asuli mikdash v'shulchanti b'tocham, and let them make for me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Tonight we sit here in our sanctuary here at Beth El, our Jewish home. I will tell you that every time I walk into this building, I am filled with joy and gratitude and hope and thanksgiving for all we have been, all we are, and all we are becoming as a community. We sit tonight in a sanctuary built with love for our faith and traditions and Jewish identity, for the future of our city and our children. All of that was put into this place. This sanctuary was built in a time when there was no option in the existing community for egalitarian participation, when using language that included the women who birthed the Jewish people into being was not part of our Amidah, when our daughters were not given an opportunity to learn to chant Torah or lead tefillah. That is why this place, this sanctuary, was built. And thank God, because this sanctuary is truly the life of our Jewish community, we owe a lot to those who had the courage and faith to build this place. Some of them are still here among us. Thank you. Yet I do not think that Parshat Truma is speaking at least exclusively of this type of sanctuary. This sanctuary was built. The Hebrew word for that is livnot, to build. But the Hebrew in this verse doesn't say that God wants the people to build for him a sanctuary. Instead, the root of the verb used is asah. In Hebrew, we say la'asot, to make or to do. Ve'asu li mikdash, and make for me, or do for me, a sanctuary. Do sanctuary. I think I like that. Obviously, the people in the wilderness did indeed build a sanctuary for God to dwell in. The instructions in this parsha are detailed. Gold, silver, copper, crimson yarns, fine linen, acacia wood, incense, even dolphin skins are called for in this building. This sanctuary was to spare no expense. In fact, it seems a little over the top that they would have even possessed the kinds of finery that God asks for, and that they managed to produce after just fleeing Mitzrayim with only unleavened bread, going through the Sea of Reeds in Parshat Bat-Shalach less than a month ago. So what if this making of a sanctuary truly is making or doing and not just building? The Hebrew asks us to say, la'asot, to make sanctuary rather than build. So I ask you a question. Why would God need them to build a fancy place anyway? This is God, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the God of Beth El. God was in that place, whether Yaakov knew it or not. God is everywhere. God's presence and beauty is infused in all of creation. I teach this to the kids in our religious school when we talk about the nature of God. And if you ask them, they will tell you about panentheism, a big word that we have talked about in school this year, which means that God has created everything and God is in everything. God is infused in all that exists. God is infused, but that doesn't mean that the creation is God. It is still God's creation and becomes separate from God, but with God's fingerprint on it. And so humankind, as part of that divine infused creation, is in creative relationship with God. Everything we create is in a way still created by the Creator. And in our creating, we reflect the divinity that is infused in our being. And I think that is the reason God didn't simply make God's own sanctuary, because to dwell among us, God wanted to include us, to partner with us in that dwelling within. As I spoke about during the High Holidays, our purpose in this life is ultimately to experience B'Tselem Elohim, to experience being in the image of God. And as those made in God's image, we are, as creation, infused with God's creative power and ability. It's a great responsibility. It is upon us to co-create with God, and in making a Mishkan for God to dwell in, we engage deeply in this creative process, wherein we create and God dwells, and God dwells, and we grow and learn and create, so that God can dwell among us and truly be one with us. So to do that, God tells us to make that vessel, that Mishkan of our hands and our minds and our hearts, so that all of who we bring is then infused into God's dwelling, so God's presence can be with us. Now, we have a beautiful building here at Bethel, but truly what makes this Bethel, the house of God, is not the building. It's the building in partnership with those of us here together who do the work to make sacred community and make sacred space, who come with pure hearts, who invite God into this place with prayer, with warm smiles, reflecting the image of God. We can appreciate our building, and we should understand it as a sacred dwelling and belief that it is indeed infused with God's presence by the work of the hands and hearts and resources of those who made it. But unless it is filled with the Spirit of God, which requires that we are here in community with God dwelling in it, it is not a Mishkan. It fails to bring us to a state of B'Tselem Elohim. In other words, we must remember that to worship what God has created is not what God desires of us. We are to worship God, the Creator, and have a building made for sacred purpose. If we have a building, but it is not engaged in that sacred purpose, it is not a Mishkan. It is not an estate of sanctuary. And even more of a loss would be to love the physical sanctuary and put that before the spiritual sanctuary or the community, the presence of God, to prioritize physical space over, in our case, what might be the community that dwells in it. If we were to put our resources into keeping a building, but fail to invest first and foremost in spiritual leadership of that place, to fail to invest in our religious school and the teaching of our children about God, or to neglect the mission of providing vibrant and relevant Jewish life and programs that bring us together in peace and wholeness in this space so we can take it out to the world, that would be a loss. To make sanctuary, to do sanctuary, is to understand that we cannot prioritize the physical space over the spiritual space. That is where we can go very off the path of what it is to make sanctuary and invite God to dwell among us. So to be in a state of sanctuary with God is to be in balance with the physical and the spiritual. So how do we then create this balance? This state of sanctuary in a complete way. Well, I think the first step is to look at how God asks us to actually make sanctuary or a Mishkan. In a couple of weeks, we will come to Parshat Vayechal Pikudei, where we are told that all of the people came forward with not only the materials to build the Mishkan, but more importantly, with the inspirations of their hearts and minds to infuse themselves into the physical dwelling as creation with God's fingerprint on them, to then put their fingerprint on the place where God would dwell. That's pretty cool. This is God and humankind in relationship. And while we don't have a Mishkan or temple where we believe God dwells during modern times, we still know that we can make sanctuary anywhere we are. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words which I command you this day, you shall take to heart. You shall diligently teach them to your children. You shall recite them at home and away, morning and night. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be a reminder above your eyes. And you shall inscribe them upon the doorposts of your homes and upon your gates. Therefore, impress these words of mine upon your heart. Bind them as a sign upon your hand, and let them be a reminder above your eyes. Teach them to your children. Repeat them at home and away, morning and night. Inscribe them upon the doorposts of your homes and on your gates. Then your days and the days of your children on the land which the Lord swore to give to your ancestors will endure as the days of the heavens over the earth. The Lord said to Moses, instruct the people Israel that in every generation they shall put fringes on the corners of their garments and bind a thread of blue to the fringe of each corner. Looking upon it, you will be reminded of all of the mitzvot of the Lord and fulfill them, and not be seduced by your heart or led astray by your eyes. Then you will remember and observe all of my mitzvot and be holy before your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I, the Lord, am your God. Arvia Havta, that's what I just read in English. Arvia Havta tells us how we can make our homes and even our bodies into a Mishkan, a place where God can dwell through three mitzvot. Mezuzah, by affixing the Shema and V'ahavta to our doorways to make sanctuary in our homes and spaces of worship and work. And Talit, where we create a sukkah of peace and wrap ourselves in the mitzvot counted in the 316 knots of the tzitzit on the corners of this garment. But then there's that third one. Bind them as a sign on your hand, as a symbol on your forehead. It's always interesting to me that of these three, tefillin seems for so many to be the mitzvah that is just out of reach or inexplicable or even scary. I admit that it was definitely the last of the three that I took on in my own spiritual practice. And that's okay. We can grow and change in observance over time. It's a process in making sanctuary and in being in relationship with God. What are we trying to do with tefillin exactly? How is this making sanctuary? Well, when you wrap tefillin, it becomes more clear. And at this point in the original sermon, I took out my own tefillin and showed the congregation. But right now, I'll explain that as we wrap it on our arm, the box which contains the commandment to love Adonai our God is placed in a way that it points toward our heart to direct these verses and their meaning into our heart. And then we place it on our forehead to enter it into our mind. And then we wrap the strap around our hand so that we are reminded that our physical actions matter. We create sanctuary of our body by infusing the love of God into our heart, our mind, and our actions. It's really quite a powerful expression of building sanctuary. For a long time, tefillin fell out of use for a lot a progressive Jewish community. But these days, it seems to be back, especially among younger progressive Jews. I want to tell you, tefillin and talit, these are not only for Orthodox Jews. There are Reform Jews that perform these mitzvot. If you go to a service with progressive Jews, including Reform Jews, on a weekday morning, you will likely see a lot of people laying tefillin, both men and women. It is a mitzvah and a way of making sanctuary commanded in Torah for all Jews. But you likely don't see it as often or ever because we don't lay tefillin on Shabbat. So here at Beth El, since we don't have a weekday minyan, as a community, we don't have an opportunity to perform this mitzvah together. Although, if any of you ever want to say Kaddish on a weekday or begin a practice of davening in a weekday minyan, I know of some online weekday minyanim that have come into existence since COVID. And actually, COVID, while obviously it has caused a lot of problems for us, in progressive circles, it also has done something good. It has given rise to online weekday prayer groups or minyanim, and it really has caused the practice of laying tefillin to grow quite a bit in these progressive Jewish communities. For us as modern people, when we consider how we make sanctuary, we must focus on kavanah, on the purpose and the intention behind the three sanctuary making mitzvot, to love Adonai your God with all of your heart and your soul and your might. So while for the ancient Israelites, the best expression of love might have been objects they held dear to give over, in modern times, often giving in love translates to our time and our energy. Those are the things that likely are the most valuable we possess. Those are the things we give over to those we love and cherish the most. To give over our time and our energy to God and to one another, to our community. That is, I believe, the place for us to start to look into ourselves when we imagine how we can engage in spiritual practice. Spiritual practice is the art of creating, making sanctuary. The sanctuary that God calls us to make is not just for the sanctuary here at Beth El and not just for Friday night. I want to encourage you to make a sanctuary in your homes by finding a spiritual practice if you don't already have one. You can do this in a lot of ways, engaging in traditional prayer, or maybe not so traditional prayer. Maybe you like to look out your window in the evening and meditate on the beauty of the sunset that God has created. Maybe you like to study Torah, or maybe you work at an animal shelter and then you go home and you reflect on God's love for all creatures and how you are participating in that love. You can make sanctuary in your home by lighting candles for Shabbat, Havdalah, or to daven in a morning, maybe online minyan, or lay tefillin, or maybe you can just get up in the morning and get a cup of coffee and take a moment to create not only for God, but for yourself, quiet gratitude, a moment of deep holiness alone, to sit with your coffee in quiet and simply say, Moda ani lefanacha melechai v'kayam shehachezarta bi nishmati b'chemla abba emunatecha. I give thanks before you, Adonai, because you woke me up this morning with my life. You returned my soul to me after I slept, and you did this because you love me. Great is your faithfulness. When we make sanctuary at home, we center our hearts, and then we bring it here for our community so that we can serve one another in sanctuary. And we have to engage in sanctuary together because, and I'm going to say something right now that is very serious. We have to engage in sanctuary together in community. We must break down barriers in our community here, because we have on our hands a spiritual crisis in our society right now. Just across the river, we have young people who survived not only their first, but their second school shooting in their lives. My son Ethan was there at Michigan State that night. It can touch any of us. And we have young people in this community who feel hopeless and helpless and alone. We have children here in Windsor ending their own lives. We have a crisis, and we need to invest in community. We need to invest in unity. We need to invest in one another so that we can be there for one another, for mental and spiritual health and healing in this world. And we do that through sanctuary. We need to make a sanctuary to make time to invite God to dwell in our hearts and our minds and our homes and our lives. And we need this to be a priority so that we can then go out and give love and healing to the world. I believe this community, not only here at Bethel, but the entire Windsor Jewish community, is called to be a sanctuary for one another, for the future of the Jewish life and community here, to be a blessing to every one of us who comes to pray and engage in Judaism, to be a light to our entire city, to welcome everyone into this makom, this holy spiritual dwelling, regardless in our community of where they are a member or how they grew up or their minhag or observance or their style of davening. And if we do that, if we invite God into this place, into our hearts and minds, into a personal relationship, God will be in this place, a sanctuary of community filled with divine love, where we can provide healing to one another, to our children. We must be prepared to do that in these times. We don't have time for division. We don't have time to waste. We must come with divine love, with joy and hope for a future together, not in a physical dwelling, but in a spiritual community of dwelling with God.